Hi, thanks so much for staying with Sharad and I on Consider This. Let's continue our discussion with Datuk Tan Yew Singh. He is the chairperson of the National Education Reform Initiative. Sharad, you had a question.
Yeah, let's continue our discussion about school culture, Yew Singh. Because, yes, in many ways, I think the impression that we have of Chinese schools is that it creates students who are very disciplined. But the flip side is that modern education, and I want to ask you about the conversations that are happening among, teachers and pedagogical thinkers within the community about what 21st century education in the Chinese school system must look like. Is it evolving? Is it creating more autonomous thinking among students rather than uniformity, discipline, all those things that we used to think were very important for good school culture?
This is a good question. There are always differing views about how to bring up a child. There are some who believe that we must give child total freedom, let them develop. There are those who believe that you must have discipline when young. And you also have some that who are really so strict with their child. I move the middle path. I believe the middle path. I believe in primary school, certain discipline is important. Simple, small gesture of how you show respect to your parent. When you wake up, do you make your bed? When you come back, do you arrange your shoe properly or you throw your shoe one corner and one corner on the right? Now, all these are habits that is grown. It's almost like a small budding seed. When you actually start growing, they may actually twist and turn, but you must have something to hold them so that they are straight, they can grow upward. But I also agree that Chinese school, one of the lacking things is the creativity, the sort of flexibility for let child have a bit more space. So it is something that they also have to learn. But so far, I think our oriental parent seems to like the fact that their child do been educated in a very disciplined way, in a way. So I feel that Chinese school seems to provide that environment, and they do have certain discipline, and some of the things can be even quite strict. But right. My personal feeling is that I like that. So all my children all go to Chinese school.
Okay, but as an educationist, Yew Singh, and because you run INTI university and colleges, can I ask you whether you've seen a difference, in some of the challenges faced by Chinese school leavers coming into the tertiary education system? What are the challenges specific to them?
Sorry, you say challenges for Chinese school students?
Yes, that come into a university setting, that come into tertiary education.
University.
Correct, right. Yes.
Let me quote you an example. I have actually conducted, but that was about 20 years ago, one of my lecturers who conduct a survey among students who came into university. One group is actually from Chinese school. The other group is from government school, SMJK or even SMK and things like that. I find that both group, their English standard is actually low. Their English standard is low. So after 1 year, when both group, that give credit to my own university, that we managed to nurture them so that they can speak good English and things like that. Now, once they actually well-versed with their language, master them, not master, at least can understand and can use it, then the results of that group of Chinese school, independent Chinese school students, seems to be very impressive, the increase. There's a quantum leap. Well, the other group, even they are also Chinese, they grow, but seems to be slower. Now, the survey is conducted by a lecturer who are not Chinese school, who are not Chinese educated. So I actually realized that maybe the discipline play a part. Maybe the learning skill, because learning, you need certain discipline. You cannot be totally free. Of course, if it's on humanity, on the art, on design, maybe the creativity even more important. But there are many other studies that a certain discipline is important. So I can only say that For them, firstly, their science and maths, their standard of science and maths is about 1 year more senior than the government school. But that is not a surprise. Our education blueprint stated in PISA survey, our science and math standard is about 3 years behind China curriculum. It's about 2 years behind Singapore. It's about 1 year even behind Vietnam. And so the Chinese school, their science and math, where they boast they are so good, I always tell them, you should compare. So when you compare with Singapore, the Chinese school curriculum, science and math in Malaysia is still 1 year behind Singapore. So my own daughter, after Chinese school, went to Singapore. It was struggling the first year to catch up on science and math. Now, I'm not going to belittle our own system. We have our own consideration. So science and math is not the only criteria we must emphasize. But we must say that we must compare. We don't want to be a kampong champion. We have to compare with the world, especially science and math, because now we are all talking about digital economy, and I'm also the chairman of Malaysian China Chamber of Commerce. When we interact with the world, when we interact with China, I think whole thing about high tech, about blockchain, about all this big data is all talking about science and math as a basis.
Yeah, so, very interesting that you mentioned this, because that was going to be my next question. It seems like there are several conversations in Malaysia, and one of them focuses primarily on the nation, that we're creating young people to be citizens of the nation. But the other conversation is that we need to be creating young people for the globe, for the world, to find opportunities beyond this 32 million strong nation we call Malaysia. You know, we see many countries rising. How do you, in practical terms, create young people ready for the world, not just the country?
I think your question is sharp and it's very timely. I always feel very much, because I graduated from UK, I stay in there, study up to my master. So I move around the world for my educational venture as well. So I realized that Malaysia, because of our rich natural resources, we are very contented. We feel very comfortable in Malaysia. There's no need for us. I always tell my friend jokingly, you just put a seed of papaya at the back of your house. It will grow. And my family of seven, that papaya tree, can whole family can have dinner with papaya a couple of days or even month, because we are very rich. But if you look at a small place like Singapore, they are not rich in their natural resources. So they have to go out. So our country, we are actually coming to a stage that we must cultivate a whole young generation with international perspective, prepare to go out to the world to fight, not among ourselves, but Malaysian as a whole, to go and compete in the world. And that is where the whole curriculum is important. Science and math is important. That is where our history book, and in fact, we are doing a review about it, doing the survey about the history book, trying to give feedback to Ministry of Education, that we must cultivate the next generation who know the world history, who know the civilization, how it grew, not just Malaysia, not just Nusantara, or Islamic, or Chinese, but the whole world. So I think when you want to create a whole generation prepared to go out and fight the world, then I think we have come a time that we must open up. Now, the reason RCEP have bring Malaysia into a regional concept, and whole ASEAN, AEC, then RCEP, and now even go beyond that, the CPTPP. So the whole world is coming together. So Malaysia, as a country, look at Malaysia alone, it's not enough. 32 million population is peanuts compared with other countries. But when we say that we are in the center of a region where we have, how many? 600 million population. We bring in Indonesia, Thailand, we all together, ASEAN. You know, the investor straight away look at it different. Wow, I put my headquarters, regional quarter in KL. I can get access to whole ASEAN country. And so we must have Malaysian who have their offices in Vietnam, who must have their head of a branch office in Bangkok, in Jakarta. Jakarta just announced they are going to move to Nusantara, their new capital, in Kalimantan. And you know why? First, the whole area is already opened up. Second, geographically, that is the real central of the whole ASEAN geography, is it? So right. we have our neighbor who are fighting, and so Malaysia, we cannot be complacent. We must move. If not, we are going to be left behind.
Okay. Well, in the couple of minutes that we have left in this conversation, I just want to kind of bring the conversation back to, as we talked about in the beginning, the successes of the Chinese education system in Malaysia. But what, for you, Yuxing, do you see as the real challenges that this education system, this Chinese schools face in the, say, next 10 years?
Challenges. Nobody is perfect, and no system is perfect, or no school is perfect. They have to learn. One thing you just mentioned, they must learn to move with time. They must learn to lighten the emphasis on exam. They must learn to give their student other than discipline at certain time. Certain time must encourage them to think out of the box. That is their first challenge. So their teachers, how to carry on the online education and things like that. All these are new things they have to learn. That is the first. Now, the second, I think, they have to also start looking at Chinese education, come up with new national narrative. They have to look from an angle of not just Chinese community. Chinese education should belong to all Malaysians. It is not belong to Chinese alone. That is not healthy. It can be to everybody. Anyone who wants to enjoy the benefits of Chinese education. So the whole system must open up. So the narrative is important to let all Malaysians feel that Chinese education is something a Malaysian proud of. It's our educational product of excellence. Not just regional. One time we were shouting about regional. It's an excellent for the whole world. I think if you talk about, again, I like to talk about UEC, you can go to the whole world and people recognize it. It is something that Malaysian proud of. As a priest, university certification, I think is the best, even compared with China and Taiwan on entry into foreign university in the West. Now, they have another challenge is, I think our, we have to, the Chinese educationalists have to have better rapport, better engagement with the Ministry of Education. And our Ministry of Education, they must also start looking into mother language education of others, not just Chinese, Indian, indigenous, Orang Asli, East Malaysian, so that everybody is proud of their own ethnicity culture, and yet we have a national identity which is facilitated by Bahasa Melayu, and we have something that we all are common together. So I think the world has come to a stage where it's not just everything must be uniform. We talk about unity in diversity. We talk about rojak. It's not a melting pot. Our culture is a rojak. You got a jambu, you got a papaya, everything is still there. But there is a sauce that combines us together. It becomes very delicious. If the rojak only have one thing, only jambu, none of us want to eat. But
it's not called a rojak anymore.
Yeah, but they have different. And like in US, they now talk about salad bowl. You have different things in there. But they are together, bind together with a sauce.
Thank you so much, Yuxing. That was our conversation with Datuk Tan Yuxing of the National Education Reform Initiative, wrapping up this episode of Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutan, signing off for the evening.
Thank you so much for watching, and good night. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutan.
Welcome to Consider This. This is the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. In line with UNESCO's International Day of Education, which this year has the theme of changing course, transforming education, tonight on the show we take a look at the Malaysian Chinese school system, its successes and challenges. Our guest today is Datuk Tan Yew Singh. He's the chairperson of the National Education Reform Initiative, or Inisiatif Pengistilahan Pendidikan Negara. It's an education pressure group that was formed in 2014, comprising 17 NGOs. Datuk Tan is also the founder of INTI International University and Colleges. Welcome to the show. It's good of you to join us today. Welcome.
Thank you.
So, Yew Singh, I thought what we could do, how we could begin this conversation is perhaps you giving us a sense of where the Chinese school system has been, whether the Chinese school system has actually been growing and strengthening in these past decades.
Chinese school dated back long ago. I think quite a few of them dated at least about more than 100 years. And in fact, some even go beyond that. Now, the existing, there are about 500,000 students in, if you talk about the Chinese primary school, then there are around 1,300 of them. And throughout the years, there are millions who have graduated from the primary Chinese school. After that, when they graduate, actually, vast majority will go into the government stream of the secondary school, whether it's SMJK or just SMK. Around 15% will then go to Chinese independent school. Chinese independent school, is the word independent means that it is actually supported, sponsored by community. Well, the Chinese primary school is part of our national education system. So this is something a lot of outsiders sometimes miss the point. It is so-called Chinese school means there are actually quite a few different sectors of it. The Chinese primary school, then we have the SMJK, which was formerly Chinese school, but then incorporated into our government stream. Then there are another 60, which are secondary independent school. Now, whether they have been strengthening, I think it is clear that they have been strengthening. From an angle, firstly, I think mother tongue education is already the advantage already established, even in a lot of UNESCO's paper and research, that a child, when they learn through mother tongue, a language they are most familiar, then they tend to be more comfortable. They learn it better. Their learning experience is better, and sometimes that extend to their benefit of even learning other subjects and things like that. So it is very clear that especially for the lower socioeconomic group, for example, rural or new villages, the kids, if they go to mother tongue education in their primary school especially, and they tend to be able to follow up much better. Now, the strengthening of Chinese school in Malaysia, few expect. External factor, we all know that China as a country is rising up very fast. It's now already the second biggest economy. And people are saying that in very short time, you can even become really the biggest economic block in the world. So the language also have been more important and more emphasized by even many other countries around the world. I involved in tertiary education. I also know that there are quite a number of universities overseas. Now they're putting Mandarin either as electives or sometimes they set up the Chinese study faculty. So because of international business requirement and China as economic power, so that also helped to bring up the status, the social image of Chinese language and Chinese education and also Chinese culture. So in a way, that's an external factor. Internal factor also, I think we all know the point that we all talk about is there are increasing number of non-Chinese who are in Chinese school now. So our country at the moment, I think it is a fact that we cannot deny that Chinese school, especially Chinese primary school, they have they are more multiracial in a way among all the different streams of education in Malaysia now.
If I can ask you just very quickly, I mean, there have been challenges to the Chinese education system. We just had the High Court declare that Chinese right. and Tamil language schools are constitutional. These challenges come up every so often. They're not new and they're unlikely to disappear. How do you respond to ultra-nationalists that are continually challenging the legitimacy of Chinese schools, despite their clear successes in terms of education?
Now, you use the word ultra-nationalist is exactly what I look at it. Now, everybody is entitled to their own thinking, but the Constitution is already stated clearly. Of course, they take it as a constitutionality court case, but for us who are, I'm not talking about Chinese education itself, I'm talking about mother tongue education. So it's more than Chinese education. Our Indian Tamil education, the education list, we even extend, we would encourage our Aborigines mother language to also have a chance to learn. And also our East Malaysian, Dusun, Kadazan, Dayak, all this, I think we must allow that opportunity for the parent to send their kids to the mother language education, especially in primary school. Now, I would like to carry on a little bit about this issue. I think fundamentally is a position that one's one hold. If Malaysia, a multicultural, multiracial country, is multicultural an asset to this country or not? I think that mentality, that is a starting point. It is very important. Nobody denies the importance of a national language. So in Malaysia, Bahasa Melayu is a language that all of us must learn. And I think a lot of schools of various streams, they also place emphasis. And if there's a lacking of that, then we encourage that. But this group who come to the court to challenge it, it's not an issue of just improving the Bahasa Melayu. It's talking about the constitutionality of this assistant of, they call vernacular school. I will want to call it mother language school.
Mother tongue education, as you call
yes,
it.
Yes,
and I want to follow up on that, because, you know, you mentioned that it's probably easier for children to learn in their mother tongue, but you also brought up that there seems to be more ethnic diversity among the student population in Chinese schools. You know, I think observers have noted that Chinese schools are increasingly able to recruit more multiracial student body compared to national schools, which is getting less diverse. Why do you think that is, are you saying? Why do you think parents choose to enroll their children into the Chinese school system?
Yeah, it is quite a multi-factor. I think, firstly, of course, the result is clear that from 2010, there were 11.84% of Chinese school students who are non-Chinese. That is about 12 years ago. But now, or if my data is 2020, there are 19.75%. It's almost double between 10 years. And maybe that is the reason, I don't know, that's the reason some of this group will get worried. They try to challenge it on constitution and things like that. Because they can see that the trend is already setting. Now, if you go and interview, hopefully you all will do that also, interview some of the non-Chinese, a parent of non-Chinese student in Chinese school. You talk to them, it's better than I actually mentioned here. But I also, we did interview them. And generally, the reason is, firstly, they like the school culture of the Chinese school. Not just because of science and maths, because Chinese is going to be a very popular language, and it's an asset to them. I met a Malay friend who speaks fluent Mandarin, so he is so comfortable in business area. So it's an asset. to know another language. But I think more important is also the school culture. I think then they go back to why is the national school, the student, even some Malay are going away from them. So I think that Ministry of Education have to do a bit. The Ministry of Education, I understand some of the officers, when I talk to them, they acknowledge the fact and they think there's something need to be done to improve it. So maybe it's a healthy competition to let this carry on. But I just want to add up one more point. It's about yes. the constitutionality case. Because I think the appeal, the court, the federal court is already having that judgment. And they say from constitution, is protected that they can learn and they can study the mother language, and there's no case in that case to challenge the existence of the school, especially the school. Many of them existed before even independent.
Right.
So it's more than 100 years now.
Yeah, almost 200 now, right? Yusin, what do you mean by school culture? Can you explain a little bit what the school culture is?
School culture, I can only mention, because I run a university, INTI University. I met some students from China when I recently, after they graduated from INTI, they went back. In fact, they start their private school in China. When I talk to them and how is their experience, take the example, I'm not self-boasting or promoting, I'm just saying that they said culture is very important. When they come from China to study here, and they were more relaxed and things like that. But when the whole culture is it's a learning organization, it's something that the teachers concerned about their work, and the whole school is talking about results, talking about how to compete and things. So in a way, you are influenced. So when China got a old story that Menzi is Confucius, the follower, the one of famous fellow, and his mother, and when actually he stayed in one place where there are a lot of gamblers around, and the mother shifted house, and the mother shifted three times until they shifted to an environment, to a community that is very righteous, very hardworking. Because the mother said, very famous in the Chinese teaching, the mother said that the environment will affect you a lot. So when you are mixed with people who are hardworking, people who talk about learning, upward going, and very ambitious, then you also get that culture. So culture to me is very important. I'm not saying that only Chinese school can have a culture, but I'm saying that school culture is very important. So if our national school have emphasized on that, create that, then I think maybe the situation will be different then.
All right, okay. We're going to take a quick break, Yusin, but after this, let's come back and continue this really rich conversation about the challenges, the successes and the challenges of the Chinese education system here in Malaysia. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned to consider this.